Chapter 1. Just call me Scrooge, Tasha thought as she watched the besties, her friends since elementary and high school, and their significant others laugh and talk with each other in Emma and Ian's living room. Emma had gone all out decorating the house for her and Ian's first Christmas together, and the home was ablaze with lights and color. Every mantel, tabletop, and doorway had some type of decoration, and the tree. For someone who'd spent the last 14 years blind, Emma had an eye for decorating. A burst of laughter drew her attention back to the couples gathered in the room. She was happy for them. Her friends deserved happiness and love, but watching it happen and being surrounded by their smiles and the loving glances they sometimes exchanged reminded her that it sucked that her significant other was MIA and thought to be dead. Just say it. Duncan thinks it. Owen's sister, too. They've given up. They're all waiting for you to come to your senses, so just say it. Owen's dead. She tried to accept what her mind told her, but her heart refused. Life couldn't be so cruel. She'd lost her state trooper fiancé several years ago. To finally fall in love and have it happen again? But because Owen's whereabouts remained unknown, and the trail Duncan had attempted to track had gone cold, she was left with little hope she would receive her Christmas wish. Tasha turned and set her drink aside, wondering if she could slip from the house unnoticed. She hadn't wanted to come tonight. Wasn't in the holiday spirit at all. How could she be? 3 months had passed since Owen Red had disappeared while investigating his younger sister's ex-boyfriend's alleged death. Now Owen's sibling sat across the room, holding her baby girl cradled against her chest while Duncan McGregor doted on mother and baby both with unprecedented attention. Duncan and Bethany had married in a quiet ceremony in Atlanta, and Holland McGregor had been born days later. The couple's whirlwind relationship had left everyone with doubts, but once they saw Duncan and Bethany together, it became perfectly clear the two had simply met their match in one another. It was quite a sight to see. Special. Just like Emma and Ian's newly wedded state, and Morgan's taking things a step at a time dating strategy with her love interest. Hey. You okay? Morgan asked. Tasha faced her friend and saw Morgan's silver Christmas tree earrings swinging from her ears like chandeliers. Yeah. Fine, she said, forcing a smile because she didn't want to bring everyone down. They all struggled to cope with Owen's disappearance and absence in one way or another. Morgan glowed like the sparkling lights circling the tree in the corner, all thanks to finding the man of her dreams after a heartbreaking divorce. Morgan had been devastated by the results of the cake-off competition, but things had turned out better in the long run. Amazing how that happened. Morgan and Knox Stewart, former professional hockey player turned entrepreneur, seemed made for each other. Are you sure? Morgan asked. Tasha lifted her hand to her temple and rubbed the tight muscles and skin. Headache. I think I'm going to head home. So soon. But we only just exchanged presents. Won't you stay a little longer? Not when she was the seventh wheel. Ninth if she counted Emma's sister, Lainey, and her husband, Rand, who talked to Jolie and her fiancé, Nathan Quinn, in the corner. Oh, why had she agreed to come tonight? Tash, please. You've barely left the clinic in months. I'm not fit company, she said to Morgan. You guys will have more fun without me. That's not true, Morgan argued. We love you. We need you here. And I need some headache meds and my PJs. Mo, I'm going home. Don't make a fuss, and give my excuses to Em after I leave. Please. Morgan opened her mouth to argue, but thankfully something stopped her. Fine. But text me when you get home, so I know you made it safe. Sure, Tasha murmured, slipping away from Morgan and into the hall to hurry out the door before Em or Jolie saw her, and required a repeat of the same argument. Crisp December air filled her nose and cooled her hot face as she made her way to her Jeep and climbed in. The road down the mountain was curvy and dark, but the drive didn't bother her. On the other hand, carols on the radio annoyed her, so she hit the button to turn off the noise, preferring the hum of the motor and silence that allowed her to think. The streets of Stone River, Georgia, were quiet, but beautifully decorated. Another reminder of the holiday she would spend alone, by choice. Normally, she had fill-in coverage for her veterinary clinic, but the other vet had decided to travel north with his family for Christmas and New Year's, and she'd volunteered to cover his emergency calls while he was gone. Her family wasn't pleased she wouldn't be joining them in Florida at her parents' condo, but thankfully her father, a retired vet himself, understood. The brightly lit storefronts looked festive, but she passed by without giving them much attention, not stopping until she pulled into the drive next to the clinic. Her house was small but perfect for her needs, with white siding and a burgundy roof, matching shutters on the windows. After a quick text to Morgan, Tasha let herself in and was immediately greeted by Dexter, her one and only feline guest at the moment. She'd had a total of 5 cats earlier in the summer, but 4 were fosters she'd eventually found homes for. "Hey, Dex." Tasha dropped her purse and keys onto the table by the stairs and turned toward the kitchen for a glass of water. To her left, a shadow shifted along the wall. Tasha gasped and stumbled away from it, fumbling for a weapon and lifting a lamp. The shade was loose and clattered to the floor. "Who's there?" "Me." "Instead of beaming me with that, why don't you turn it on?" The voice was husky and male. Scratchy and low and pained. "Familiar?" Her heart pounded against her chest as she felt for the switch. The bright light left him closing his eyes against the glare. Not that closing them was much of a stretch since they were both bruised and swollen, as was his face. "Owen?" She barely recognized him. Wouldn't have recognized him had he not spoken to her first. He wore stained, filthy clothes, and his face and hands looked dark with grime and bruises, his beard straggly and thick with gray. Gone was the athletic kick-butt man with a ready smile, and in his place sat a man nearly starved and visibly broken. Owen looked to be homeless, one of many in this day and age on the city streets begging for money. "Is it really you?" She stood rooted to the floor, too afraid she imagined him lying there because of the loneliness of the night. Too scared he would disappear if she breathed or moved or. A sound burst out of her. She didn't remember moving. Didn't remember crossing the floor or falling to her knees. She was only aware of the moment her body slammed against his. Owen's grunt of pain blew into her face. He looked awful. He smelled worse. He was injured and hurting, but she didn't care. He was there in her house right now. Alive. A brief hint of a smile curled the corners of his cracked lips. "Sweetheart, did you miss me?" "Miss you?" she asked, barely able to get the words out over the lump in her throat. "Where have you been?"